Mick Fealty in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I see you post sometimes 10 or 15 times a day in this marvelous blog called Slugger O'Toole, news, commentary, diverse opinion on Northern Ireland. I'm trying to figure, is this a peace blog? Is it a getting-to-know-you blog? Is it a talking-over-the-fence blog? What are you up to?
We're up to several things. We set out, first of all, to bring together in one place interesting material that otherwise readers would not be able to read in one place. In Northern Ireland, you have three daily publications. One is clearly Catholic, one is clearly Protestant, and I suppose the third one professes agnosticism, but is probably distrusted equally by both sides.
Slugger O'Toole sounds like a Catholic to me.
Yes, well, Slugger O'Toole is an interesting character. He comes directly from an old song called the Irish Rover. He's one of the crew of a mythical ship that's sunk halfway between Ireland and New York. And Slugger was, according to the song, generally drunk as a rule. So there's a certain... I mean, I suppose when we started it off, it was called Letter to Slugger O'Toole, so I kind of imagined at the beginning that explaining Northern Ireland and all its complexities was a little bit like trying to explain, these things to a drunk man sort of thing, you know? It's a fun title, but it's the intention of the blog itself is fairly serious. However, the title gives us some leeway to be slightly irreverent and, kind of take a light view sometimes where Northern Ireland discourse is often gets bogged down and people taking other people almost far too seriously.
But Mick, you know, I'm thinking of this blog in what sometimes is thought of as a war zone as a kind of model of what happens, could happen in blogging in Kashmir, say, in Sri Lanka, say, in Jerusalem, say, that is to say between Palestinians and Israelis. What do you want to do with this blog for reconciliation? Is that what it's about?
Reconciliation is a big concept. I think what we're, in the first place, doing is creating a kind of a space in which both Catholics and Protestants are fairly comfortable. As I was saying before, there are three basic newspapers in Northern Ireland. An awful lot of good content in each one of them, but they're read separately, which leads to a situation whereby any one action in Northern Ireland is separately interpreted by the two sides. On Slugger O'Toole, we put those all into the same space. That has brought together a readership from both sides. We've seen in the last few months a phenomenal growth in the use of the comment fields where nationalists and unionists are beginning to kind of discuss the same things in the same space. And although they're not coming to shared understandings as such, at least they're in the same room, whereas before they were in two separate rooms.
Go ahead.
You wouldn't expect in any polity to have two sides who completely agree with each other.
Right.
You know, in normal politics, you've got the liberals and you've got the conservatives. And certainly you don't want to have some kind of woolly consensus whereby everybody buys into some kind of anodyne shared belief. What you do want to have, though, is a situation where people are disagreeing with each other quite profoundly and quite, at times, aggressively, but that they are actually disagreeing over the same things, and they're within a single discourse rather than having two completely separate discourses. And I think that's one of the things that Slugger O'Toole is within its ability to kind of achieve.
Mick Fealty, give me an example of something that Slugger O'Toole can say or moderate or hear that the newspapers don't or that television doesn't.
Right. I think it's about the limitations of the printed page. I mean, I was talking to a senior Catholic politician about this afternoon, that very often newspapers just they have to serve a bundle of interests within their readership. And often that means that politicians' main messages get reduced to sound bites. Well, where you have a kind of a single discourse, that's not a problem. It's not a problem in the States. It's not a problem in the UK generally. When you have an immature democracy, sound bites are suddenly, when you they're kind of chunks of meaning where the context is completely lost. And
yes.
I think within the slugger situation, we're able to provide wider context. We're able also to take in, I mean, we've currently have a bit of a discussion going between a major Catholic politician and a major Protestant politician, in which they're going over detailed policy. And by and large, although they've tried to push that out through the main media, they found it much easier to kind of engage with each other and the slugger readership, you know, through what we've been able to, you know, we've been able to set that space aside for them to do that.
That's remarkable. See, what I'm trying to do also is then add the human voice, which fills in an awful lot of additional context too, but there is a space there in the blogosphere that God knows how we're going to use it. What's mm-hmm. your own view of the blog future?
I think we're just at the beginning. And I think the beginning has been pioneered by single human voices. You know, people like Andrew Sullivan, Glenn Reynolds.
You read them?
Yes, I read them on a fairly regular basis. I mean, as you'll guess, when you're blogging up to sort of anywhere between 8 and 15 posts a day, then there's not, and quite single-mindedly doing it on a single subject like this, there's not always the opportunity to visit people as much as you'd like to. Where I think the potential lies is kind of not so much moving away from the single voice, but the multiplication of voices that can occur. In the last couple of weeks, we've had about three new blogs come online, political blogs in Northern Ireland, where kind of previously unheard voices are beginning to find their measure.
Tell me about them. I noticed there's one called Newshound, another one called Irish Eagle, another one Belfast Gonzo.
Yeah.
Are these children of Slugger O'Toole?
Actually, Newshound is the granddaddy of them all. Newshound is it's a kind of a news filter, which is done by an American living in Dublin. But interestingly, Irish Eagle is his blog. So in some respects, we're kind of son of Newshound, but almost father of Irish Eagle. Belfast Gonzo is a new one and a very interesting one, and that almost certainly comes from, you know, it's son of Slugger O'Toole, so to speak. And there are several others that have been going over the last few years.
Who's reading these blogs, Mick?
Well, 60% are Americans.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's two reasons for that. I think one is the blog culture is well established in the U.S., and also there always has been a residual interest in Americans, both Irish Americans and others, in the Irish question. But interestingly, we also seem to have a very high proportion of local readers in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not Northern Ireland based, I mean, I'm speaking to you from Belfast, but I actually live in the south of England and have done for 20 years. So I think it's a kind of testimony to the kind of genuine nature of the blog itself, that it has such a tight local readership. In fact, I'm reliably informed that many of the key figures in the press corps in Belfast read it on a daily basis.
Well, I can imagine. You know, I'm interested in what you do in culture, in books, even in religious matters, spiritual matters, sports for that matter, as well as politics. What do you try to do, and what part do those other fields have in the bigger resolution of things?
Well, that's an interesting question. To a large extent, the news in Northern Ireland is like a tap. At certain points in the year, say when many of the local democratic institutions collapsed last October, there is absolutely no space, no time, no opportunity to pick up any of those more nuanced aspects of Northern Ireland life. You just have to go with the mainstream.
Mm.
There's literally information coming in every 2 or 3 hours. And if you take your eye off the ball, you're likely to miss something crucially important. When it gets to a kind of a slacker time, then I'm fairly eclectic in what I pick up. I'm interested in the economic situation because that's key to the long-term viability of Northern Ireland. And where I can, I'm also keen to kind of bring in ideas that are obliquely connected to issues that we've kind of identified over the last year or so that are possibly crucial to the way forward.
For example, what are you thinking?
Kind of ideas on social capital, particularly, his name's escaped me.
Robert Putnam?
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Whose work we actually drew on quite heavily for a recent report we did on the future of unionism. As far as sport is concerned, we're quite keen on... I suppose the stories we picked up on are stories that have kind of political implications and that kind of hint at the possibility of a paradigm shift within Northern Ireland.
Right.
Things like, the Northern Police Service and the Southern Police Service playing Gaelic football, which previously they would not have been allowed to do. So I suppose if we have a kind of an agenda on that score, it is looking for indications of a profound shift. The other kinds of things that we're, in cultural terms, we're interested in are pieces of work that come out specifically of one community or the other, and kind of point to a kind of an internal emotional life. That's particular to those communities. Plays that kind of that touch upon the troubles, possible forms of reconciliation. I mean, there was a play recently by two ex-prisoners, Republican prisoners, which went much further in terms of proposed reconciliation than we had previously seen. And these things are all kind of, they're barometers. They give you kind of a sense of where not just the body politic is going, but where the where communities are kind of imagining themselves getting to.
Interesting. I notice you've got a controversy going on your page today about these IRA T-shirts with the sniper on the front of them. How does an issue like that, inflammatory political stuff, get worked out on a blog that might not be worked out certainly the same way in traditional media?
I think what's happening there, I mean, I should say that I have a particular policy towards the comments field, because these inflammatory issues, I mean, you'd be surprised what people can work up into controversy. You know, it doesn't take an IRA T-shirt to start off a major argument over who said what and what they meant by it. We have a very informal rule on Slugger O'Toole that there should be no ad hominem attacks either on other commentators or indeed public figures in the news. But that's not rigidly enforced, and I don't police it as such. But it's a request to self-edit, if you like. Then sets a condition where you actually can take some of these more controversial issues and allow them to kind of be teased, kind of teased apart, almost to the point where you get beyond the controversy. And the readers often get to a point where they don't necessarily flip points of view, but what previously was emotive and difficult then comes down into kind of a less controversial.
Imagine blogs in other conflicted situations. Say the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Say India, Pakistan. How would you use them? And give us the hopeful future of a kind of a new instrument for transparent, open, democratic, egalitarian conversation.
Okay. I think one of the first preconditions is it has to be independent. Slugger O'Toole is not a government initiative. It's run by an individual.
Who pays for it?
At the moment, I pay for it with along with voluntary donations from readers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that very independence is almost an absolute key to the success of the blog. People tend to distrust something that's either imposed by a national government or even an international body which has a particular kind of agenda.
Right.
One of the advantages of it being independent and owned by a single person is that your blog then becomes something of a private estate upon which people are invited to come in.
Yes.
in terms of giving fair play to both sides, it can't be done numerically. It's something you have to have a feel for. I control the editorial content, and I certainly don't. I have to be mindful of a number of different factors. One, what is the news agenda at any one given moment in time? So if the news is completely dominated by controversies around the Protestant community, then that's where most of my material is going to come from. I can't falsely go around and look for something to balance it. Another factor is looking for deficits. I mean, it seemed very clear to me that when I set this website up over a year ago, there was a huge deficit on the unionist side of the discourse. So our first in-depth report was around the subject of the future of unionism. And that has had quite a beneficial effect, both within Northern Ireland and within the public discourse on Slugger O'Toole. So I think freedom for the individual to make qualitative judgments like that is absolutely crucial.
Interesting.
As far as the discourse is concerned, anybody seeking to set up something else has to allow themselves to be seen as an honest broker. So to that extent, I'm a visible character. People can make judgments about my editorial choice. They can make judgments about how fair I am. But I tend to, if I intervene in any conversations on the site, I tend to do that in the role of a moderator. So where a particular conversation may be stuck around a minor issue, I may intervene and introduce a new topic, or bring in a new angle, or ask another question. I think the rules of engagement on the site are best left to be informal and to appeal to your commentator's best instincts. Recently we had a kind of a crisis because I don't tend to read the blog at night time, and the readers got into a bit of a frenzy, let's say, and I came back the next day and there were 150 comments in the comment field.
Right.
And I had to go through and pull out 64 of them because they were offensive, and I pointed out that I had just spent 2.5 hours not writing Slugger O'Toole but pulling stuff off Slugger O'Toole, and that clearly some people had lost the run of themselves, not pointing blame in any one particular direction, but I simply appealed to people that they should consider, before they push the send button, self-editing, because Slugger O'Toole is read by many more people than those who comment on it.
Sure.
What has happened since then, by and large, and I'm not saying there haven't been lapses, is that they not only self-edit, they'll also suggest to other people that they're kind of moving out of the spirit in which Slugger O'Toole exists. As one character said recently, it's not about personalities, it's about issues. Or to use an old soccer phrase, you must play the ball and not the man.
Mm.
So, and allowing people to, in some ways that allows people to take much more ownership and responsibility for what they're doing. And I think that goes in hand with it not being official, with it being a relatively informal space. And I think another thing that helps is, because it's a blog and there is a fast flow through of news, it's very difficult for people to stay too long on subjects that aren't yielding useful debate, because there's always a tendency to kind of to say, oh, right, that's a new subject, I want to say something else about that.
Right.
So there's something almost about the dynamic of the blog that keeps the debate moving, doesn't allow people to linger on hurt or offence. So if I were to export the idea, I think those would be some of the guidelines that I'd want to lay down.
That's very good. Sum it up, Nick Fieldy. I mean, from your own experience in reading other blogs, I mean, you've referenced Glenn Reynolds and others. What transforms a blog from just kind of a personal diary into a useful public space?
I don't know. What a price you'd put on it. But, I mean, it's very difficult to pick what the elements are. I think a degree of serious-mindedness, commitment, honesty, openness. If you're caught out playing down the wrong side of the field, then you're seen from 360 degrees. So you cannot afford to fake it. I think you have to be genuine. I think you have to be interested in more than just yourself and your own opinion. And I think you have to be looking to genuinely add to the your readers' kind of understanding of the of what whichever part of the world you're particularly interested in. And I don't mean that geographically. I mean that in terms of you know, just general political or cultural interest. So I think detachment seems a strange word to put side by side by commitment, but I think both of those are absolutely vital, along with, you know, I suppose a degree of honesty, intellectual honesty, emotional honesty, because very often we're very emotionally attached to some of the subjects that we're talking about. And also, actually, this is how you learn what you believe, what the world is about. And I think a certain amount of innocent naivety is another sort of prerequisite. You know, I kind of set up Slugger O'Toole a year ago, and I think there are things I know now, not just about Northern Ireland in an abstract concept, but how other people view Northern Ireland, how they see things that I see in completely different terms.
This is so interesting. It's good work, McFeelty, and it's good to have a chance to talk to the man behind Slugger O'Toole. We'll tell all of our viewers about it, and I hope we'll talk again.
Yeah.
All the best, and thank you very much, Mick.
Okay, Christopher. I hope it's been of some use.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Mick.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.